Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Today's show is brought to you by Gastric Health Club. Sign up now for our free 10-day Back on Track Challenge beginning September 17th. Just click on the banner on the Gastric Health Show's Facebook page. Hello and welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall and I am your host. I am excited to have you back for another episode. And today we are talking about a popular topic again this week. Is intermittent fasting beneficial after weight loss surgery? So we'll get into that. But first, these podcasts are not intended for medical advice. They are for educational purposes only. And please consult with a healthcare professional before implementing any of the things talked about in our podcasts. We would also love for you to share our podcast with your friends in any of those secret or closed Facebook groups that you're a part of that maybe you feel like the topic has been discussed and it can give them some more information or some solutions or answers to their questions. So we'd love for you to share our content as you see fit. We would also love for you to join us on our next free 10-day Back on Track Challenge. It is beginning on September the 17th. So if you have not signed up, please do quickly so that you can join us for this next challenge. If you've done one of our challenges in the past, go ahead and sign up again because this will be something that is new. We have updated the information that is available, so you may find some new information that is relevant and beneficial to you. And then also, if you've never connected with us in our closed Facebook group, the Gastric Health Club, please go on over there and join us. That's where we have conversations and topics that we discuss. We also have Facebook Lives and giveaways. We have all kinds of fun things we do in there. And also, that's where we connect during our challenges and our classes. So we would love for you to join us there if you haven't already. So check us out in the Gastric Health Club on Facebook. All right, so let's just jump right into intermittent fasting. And I'm going to cover just kind of what it really is and what it does and what does the research kind of say about it and maybe some benefits of it and then also the is intermittent fasting for everyone. So there's also links to lots of articles on this topic that I have in the show notes on our website. So feel free to check out any of those articles or the published research on it and read for yourself. Learn as much as you can before you jump into something. And that way you are the most educated and you know when things are going fabulous and what to do to tweak it to keep it there or to maximize it more or when to, you know, draw the line and cut bait and jump out of what you were doing because it's just not working. So that's where, you know, learning to listen to your body and paying attention to the symptoms and signs and things, the changes that are occurring will kind of give you, you know, evidence of what's working and what isn't. So let's get into intermittent fasting. Really, intermittent fasting is just a way of eating where you incorporate time restrictions into your eating schedule. So you create a 12 or 20 hour window of fasting time with 16 hours probably being the most popular, and it will really show the benefits or stimulate the benefits of fasting, like speeding up your metabolism to burn more fat yet preserving your muscle. It will some evidence has been shown that it has the ability to reduce your total cholesterol by about 20%. It can decrease inflammation throughout your body. And that one they've seen in several studies. It may improve your brain health. So even think about motor coordination. So things with movement that people are struggling with, that it has been shown to improve that. It also decreases the neuroinflammation. So think of things, disease states like Alzheimer's and dementia has been shown to decrease that brain inflammation that really is associated with those diseases. And then also helps prevent age-associated diseases. So it's really popular in the ageless community, where people are really concerned about, you know, they want to live to 100 years old or past. They'll live past 100 years old. And this is a strategy that they are using to help slow down aging. So it's very interesting. So if you've never dug into the research on this, it's pretty cool, actually. So I would encourage you to maybe Google it or go on PubMed.com and just put, age associated diseases and intermittent fasting. If you just put in intermittent fasting, a whole bunch of articles pop up. I should have looked at the number, but there's a ton of research already done on it. So it's very well backed by science, but is all of it proven to be clinically significant? Not all of it. So that's where it's, you know, you have to keep reading and find. For me, how I base it is I like to find two or three articles saying the same thing. I don't like it to be just one article. Sometimes I go with it, even if it's one, because you're kind of in a pinch and there's nothing left to do. Maybe you've exhausted all your options with this patient and you're like, oh, I don't know what else to do. But look, there's this one study and it did work for this small percentage, maybe not clinically significant for the general population, but there were positive results from it. So I'm going to utilize that with this patient because it might be effective for them. It might not, but you don't know. So I like, when I'm looking at research, to really find two or three or four studies trying to say the same thing or give the same gist or vibe from the evidence and from the results. So once I get that, then I feel pretty good that, wow, this could be really beneficial to multiple people, lots of people. Whereas if it's one study, I'm going to use it as kind of a Hail Mary of, okay, I have nothing else to offer, but let's try it type of thing. So, you know, get into the research, read, because this intermittent fasting, this is not a new thing. This goes back centuries. This is, even, millions of years. So this is something that isn't new. But what does the research say about the metabolic shift? So this is what people are mostly excited about, or I should say in the weight loss surgery community. So in the when you've had weight loss surgery, you are really focused on hitting your goal weight. And anything that's going to maximize that or help you maintain that better, you're all about it, which so am I. I'm all about helping you hit those goals and making sure that you are optimizing your weight. So this is one thing that you can consider. Doesn't mean that it's right for everybody, and we'll get into that, but it does mean that you might be able to cycle in this intermittent fasting occasionally and reap the benefits of it. So what does the research say about the metabolic shift happening during intermittent fasting? So really, if you think, okay, so intermittent fasting, you are shortening the eating window. So if you are fasting, say from 7 p.m. at night until 7 a.m. in the morning, that's a 12-hour fast. So you would have to go you add another 4 hours to hit that 16. So you'd have to go to 11 a.m. to be at that full 16. Or if you could, you know, stop eating at 6 p.m. at night and then not eat until 10 a.m. the next morning, that would be your 16 hours. And then some, like I said, and some of them go a little longer. So if you did 6 p.m. to noon, then you're talking, you've got the 18 hours in. So it, I'll go through the details and you can decide what maybe would be best for you. So during the most common fasting period of time or duration is 18 to 24 hours. Our cells will shift from glucose as their primary fuel source to fat as the primary fuel source, which if you listen to my last podcast, we talked about the ketogenic diet and that being, you know, getting the ketones, which is a fat source, being your source of fuel. So this is where I find it, where you're not really changing what you're eating. You're just changing the timing of your eating, and you only eat during that certain window. So if you were doing a true 18-hour intermittent fast, then that would be from noon. You would only be eating from noon until 6. So you only have that 6-hour window of actual eating time. So you would have, you know, you wouldn't have very many meals during that time, really. So what this means is your cells are shifting from glucose as their primary fuel source to fat being the primary fuel source. And this means our fat stores are broken down and used for energy. So sounds fabulous, right? Who doesn't want to break down their fat, the stored fat, and use that as fuel? But 18 hours is a long time to go without eating any food. So the breakdown of proteins for fuel does not begin until the third day of fasting. So what does that mean? So if you were fasting, say the full 24 hours, if you did 3 days, you're going to start breaking down your muscle mass after the third day. And that's a bad thing because our heart is a muscle and your body does not say, oh, it's off limits and you cannot take the heart muscle as fuel. It just takes it from anywhere. So that's where you have to keep in mind that you don't want to do these for long periods of time, and all day fasts are probably not as, I don't want to say not as popular because that's totally not true, but there are some programs where you do 24-hour fasts and that is a thing. But I would say the intermittent fasting where you're doing hours at a time, maybe the 12 is very, very popular, 12 to 16, that would be more popular. So the risk of you burning muscle as fuel is low, which is the cool thing. And actually they found that there was no muscle loss at all during that time. It's only if you go past those 3 days, so back-to-back fasting or intermittent fasting is not always ideal because of this. You're going to start burning your muscle, and our muscles are our metabolic power. So that's what helps keep our metabolism cooking and going, and so that you can burn the calories so that you keep your weight maintained or you can lose weight. That is important. So you do not want to burn your muscle and use that as fuel. You definitely want to be utilizing the fat stores for your fuel as opposed to the muscle. So intermittent fasting can help maintain or gain muscle mass because of this. So there's no harm in, you know, having a window of time that you are not eating. So some studies have shown that 8-hour fasts don't provide weight loss, but they do lower insulin levels and significantly improve insulin sensitivity, as well as significantly lower blood pressure. And the best part is they are not starving. So it does really help decrease your appetite so that you don't feel like you're missing out or that you're hungry. So that's something to think about when you are deciding, is intermittent fasting something I should try? Well, 8 hours may not, 8 hours is simple. That, I would say, is the most simplest thing. So if you, you know, it's basically you don't eat at night, no nighttime eating. And once you've had your evening meal, you don't snack. And then you wake up and you've done your intermittent fasting. You're not going to get the weight loss, but you are going to get the health benefits. So it, you know, it depends on the goals you're looking for. So if your blood sugar is going high and you're like, what the heck? After surgery, I got off of all my diabetes medicine and it was maintained and managed great. And now all of a sudden, my blood sugars are rising, as well as my A1C is rising. Now what do I do? This could be a strategy that could help you. Just cut out the nighttime eating and make sure you have a full 8 hours of fasting. And this can help balance that out. Of course, you can't eat like crap and think that you're going to balance your blood sugar. So what's that mean? You can't eat a bunch of sugars and carbs and junk and think you're going to balance your blood sugars without changing your diet. That's not going to work out. You still have to change your diet, but you also can throw this in and you'll get kind of the double whammy. So it will help really improve those numbers. So let's see here. Some functional medicine practitioners only recommend to use intermittent fasting in those patients who are really resistant to weight loss. So say, you know, you've tried everything and nothing is kicking, you know, your weight has just stopped. You had weight loss surgery and you're, you know, at 6 months, you just stalled out. This could be an option for really kind of kicking that stall and really stopping the plateau and getting your weight going again. And it's just really shortening that window of when you actually eat. So it doesn't mean you would do this every day. This is something that you would maybe do once or twice a week. And then that can help kind of get your body going in the right direction. I will say there is some pretty cool evidence on the gut microbiome benefits. So I'm all about gut health. And studies have shown that diet-induced obesity dampens this. Okay, so I'm going to try not to get too deep in this, but bear with me. So these are some studies, and the obesity dampens the cyclical microbiota fluctuations. So what does that mean? So our microbiome is always moving and shifting. When you are obese, it is less. It is shifting less. You don't have much diversity, and which is kind of most obese people don't have enough gut bacteria diversity. So that's what we're trying to improve with, you know, what we do on our website. We're trying to improve the diversity of your gut health so that you improve your odds of getting the weight off and keeping it off. So they've shown that when you have, you know, these, because of a poor diet for a long period of time and you are obese, then these, you know, fluctuations or this, you know, diversity is not there. Then when you have time-restricted feeding, this is only in mice that they did, and that's where they're doing more human trials and studies, but you know, this evidence right here is on mice, which isn't, we're not, you know, it's not on humans, but it can give us some good evidence of potentials. So time-restricted feeding in mice partially restored these cyclical functions. So they didn't do anything different other than restricting the amount of hours that they're eating, and that improved their gut diversity. So that's awesome. And the cyclical changes in the gut microbiome from time-restricted feeding and fasting rhythms contribute to the diversity of the gut microflora and represent a mechanism by which the gut microbiome affects the host metabolism. So, which I've talked about on our website, WLSgutHealth.com. If you go to our website, we have kind of the basics of gut health on there, and that's what we talk about, the basics of gut health after weight loss surgery. And we talk about this, how important the diversity is, and it's all connected. So the timing and of, you know, your eating and the timing of even your sleep cycle, all that stuff ties into what's happening in your gut. And all that can be seen and improved with just restricting the number of hours that you are eating. Not every day, but maybe one or two days a week that you are doing this, and that will give you some added benefits. Then an extended fasting period, this study did not tell how many hours this extended fasting period was, but it could also lead to reduced gut permeability. So reduced leaky gut, that's a good thing. The more leaky gut you have, or the more intestinal permeability that you have, that leads to food sensitivities, leads to allergies, leads to issues with weight loss, issues with nutrient absorption, all that. Leaky gut is not something that you want to have. You want to prevent that and heal it so that your body is not reacting to it and having all these crazy, crazy symptoms because you just have a leaky gut. So that fasting period could improve or decrease that leaky gut, and it also can decrease the endotoxins, which endotoxins are related to increased fat storage, also increased inflammation, and increased insulin resistance. So we see, it's called endotoxemia, and we see that in obesity. There is a connection. And with that comes the increase of you storing more fat. It's like your body just is more efficient at storing that. So, and then also the increased inflammation and the insulin resistance, all those because of these endotoxins. And as a result, lower the systemic inflammation. So that extended fasting period, which I have, like I said, it didn't state how many hours it would be, would also lower your overall inflammation in your body. So, which makes sense. If you aren't eating offending foods all throughout the day, you have a limited window, you would have decreased inflammation. So that does make sense to some degree. But in essence, I think you have to look at the big picture of, you know, what am I dealing with? What are my symptoms, my side effects, my issues, or, you know, things I'm struggling with? And do I need to make some shifts? And maybe you start at 8 or 10 hours at first, or if you can do a full 12 hours as your first, you might see some improvements with some of these side effects and symptoms that you're having just by making that one change of quit eating at night. Nothing after dinner. So if your dinner's done at 7 p.m., you shouldn't have breakfast until, you know, 6 or 7 the next day. And you would see some benefits in these areas. Your gut health, inflammation, all those things will be, your diversity will grow in your gut microbiome. All those will improve for most people. So that's a cool thing. So, is intermittent fasting for everyone? There can be risks associated with intermittent fasting, so it's not necessarily perfect for every person. You would benefit by working with a qualified dietitian or your doctor who understands these risks and benefits, and to really kind of help you determine, is this right for me? So here are some easy things to really think about that you really shouldn't be doing intermittent fasting. So you shouldn't be doing intermittent fasting during pregnancy or nursing. Any of those times really are not beneficial. Avoid during times of increased stress. Here's the stress thing again. Isn't that crazy that, you know, a ketogenic diet, you don't do well if you have a high stress life. Intermittent fasting, you're not going to get the same results with intermittent fasting if you have high stress. So it really just that HPA access, the hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenals, that whole access is out of whack when you are highly stressed. So it would not be recommended to do that if you're highly stressed. Also, if you have nutritional deficiencies, and think about weight loss surgery. If you're having the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass, that comes with malabsorption of nutrition. So you've really got to make sure you don't have any nutritional deficiencies before you jump into something like this. So getting an annual blood draw from your bariatric team would be first and foremost is what I would say. And if you don't have any deficiencies, then I think that makes sense, because you're going to, you know, you don't want to create nutritional deficiencies because you are cutting out eating. That's, you know, going against what your goals are. So I think you look at the big picture. You want to improve your health, not worsen it. And if you already have nutritional deficiencies, restricting your eating is not going to improve that. That's going to worsen it. So make sure nutritionally your numbers are good. And then electrolyte abnormalities. If you have a history of this with your potassium or your sodium being off, or magnesium, you know, any of those, that calcium, all those are in our blood that are tightly regulated. And especially, you know, sodium and potassium are really, you know, ones that can be affected so readily, so quickly. So I would definitely, you know, be cautious if you have a history of this, especially dehydration. If you're a poor drinker and your fluids, you're always low on fluids and dry all the time, intermittent fasting is not going to help. Although you're capable of drinking all through that, it's not that you can't drink water, but your electrolytes are not, you're not going to be getting that from the food. So make sure that if you have a history of this or you're struggling with that now, you don't add this to it. And then chronic low calories. If you are not good at keeping your intake up already, cutting more is really not going to help you. You're really going to put your body in starvation mode and create the opposite. You'll start conserving calories and gaining weight and causing problems. So, and you're just not going to feel good. So when it comes to food, your body has to have fuel. So you can't eat less. If you're already eating very little, you can't cut that more. So if you're already only eating one meal a day, or you're barely struggling to get your three meals in, intermittent fasting is probably the worst choice to do. You definitely need to think through that one for sure. So make sure you're working with a health professional who is qualified and understands these risks and knows when it's a good fit and when it's not. So, and really, I think if most of us, we could do a 12-hour intermittent fasting. I don't want to say daily, but kind of. You totally could, because you're just cutting out all that nighttime snacking, which really there's no value in that anyway. So look at the hours that you are eating and see if you can't you know, clean up what you're doing already by just getting rid of the nighttime snacking. And that alone, you should see some improvement in your gut bacteria, the diversity of it. So you might see some improvements of your gut health and digestion symptoms. And then also inflammation, if you're really struggling with arthritis or rheumatoid arthritis or just fibromyalgia or gout or any of those that deal with the joints and everything, that inflammation that's so painful for so many of you, that would be something to consider, you know, that intermittent fasting, and see if you don't get some improvements in it, in those symptoms with it. So I hope this has helped you, you know, at least given you information, given you the ability to kind of get the basics of what it really is and what it does and how it helps and the benefits of doing it. So you know when to do it and when not to do it. And you know that you need to seek out advice to get a healthcare professional on your side so that you do it right and that you get the benefits from it. So I hope you all enjoyed this week's talk, and I hope you will join us for the 10-day Back on Track Challenge beginning September 17th. And please, please, please connect with us in our closed Facebook group, Gastric Health Club. We would love to connect with you there. So you guys have a great week. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.